You have your Bibles? Before you stand and I read this excellent scripture, amen, I'd like to give you a little prelude. This was the verse I used last week also. I hadn't been able to get off the church since I've been home. I think the church means a lot to God. It might not mean a whole lot to you, and I know some of you it does, and some it doesn't. And to the average man on the street, he probably doesn't even quite understand what a church is. I never forgot when when my mom's sister, Shirley, my Aunt Shirley, was here. And she come to see me several years ago. And I brought her in the back door of that church right there, Brother George. I never in all my life seen anybody as uncomfortable as my Aunt Shirley when she walked in. She bent down and she hunkered down. And she looked around. She said, "So this is what a church is." You know, as far as I know, it was the first time she had ever stepped foot in a church in all of her life. And so, you know what? The average person on the street, I've been thinking a whole lot about the theme of the church. The average person nearly doesn't even know what a church is. Now, I know a church is a building. I understand that. This is a place that we gather. That we gather to meet. And there's things that has to be done here. There's electricity has to be done. Light bulbs has to be replaced. Carpets have to be swept. Toilets have to be cleaned. There's things that has to be done in this building. But really, to be honest with you, and I don't want to get you confused or get me confused either, but this is really not the church. The church is the people that fill the building. That is the church. And that's what Jesus didn't die for this building. This building might be here today and gone tomorrow. Earthquake could happen. A fire could happen. Thugs could come by and ram. I mean, lots of things can happen to the building. But the church is the people that Jesus died for that fills the building. Amen. And that's who Jesus died for, is the church, the people. Amen. I understand we got to have a building which makes up a church. I understand all that. I'm not ignorant to that fact. But in the book of Psalms, chapter 122, this psalm is called a song of degrees. Amen. Psalms chapter 120 through 134. I'm going to give you a little prelude here before I read. At least about 14 chapters here fall into the classification of these song of degrees, if I'm saying that right. These were psalms that were sung by the Jewish pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem to observe the mandatory feasts given in the law. These psalms were to be sung as the worshipers made their way to the holy place of worship. Listen to this. These psalms ascended to the heights of the glory and to the majesty of God. Those psalms were designed to glorify the Lord and to help prepare the heart of the saint of God for worship in the tabernacle and later in the temple, amen, that was built for him. This particular psalm, chapter number 122, that I'm going to read from here in just a moment, talks about the place of worship. Jerusalem, amen. The purpose of worship and the power of worship, which will be my 3 points today. It brings gladness to the hearts of the worshipers. David writes, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." Now, I'm not a singer, and I wouldn't dare try to sing this, but I want you to imagine the children of Israel on their way to a feast, amen, on their way to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on their way to the feast that the Jews observed, and these were songs that were given them to sing while they were on their way to church. Woo! Hallelujah. Here they were on their way to church, and they said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." This is a song. "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Here they are on their way to Jerusalem. Amen. To the tabernacle here. Amen. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper. that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Hallelujah. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. I preached last Sunday, some of you may remember, some may not, from the very first verse, one verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I preached a little bit about the church of my dreams, and I probably will finish that. Amen. I've got hung up on something here. Praise God. But that won't be my title today. Today, what I want to try to preach to us about is why going to church ought to make us glad. Amen. Why going to church ought to make us glad. Hallelujah. Amen. In the Word of God, there are several things that are mentioned. And if you want me, I could tell you later. If you want to write them down real quick, I could. But in the Word of God, there are several things that the Bible said to make a man glad. Whew, amen. The Bible said ointment and perfume maketh glad in Proverbs chapter 27 and 9. Proverbs 15 and 20 said, a wise son maketh one glad. Proverbs 12 and 25 said, a kind word maketh one glad. Amen. Exodus 4 and 14 said, meeting a loved one, amen, that possibly you hadn't seen for a while, maketh one glad, doesn't it? You ever get around your family at Christmas time, amen, and see somebody you hadn't saw in a while? Boy, it does your heart merry, amen. It makes you glad, praise God. Exodus 19 and 8 said, God's law, and all these are really sermons in themselves, but I tell you what, God's word will make you glad. Woo! Amen. Proverbs 29 and 2 said, the increase of the righteous maketh glad. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 12 and 43 said that the feast, God's feasts, amen, makes glad. Praise God. And numerous of accounts in Chronicles, Psalms, amen, multiple places in the book of Psalms said that the Lord and his salvation maketh us glad. Hallelujah. And then right here today in the reading of my scriptures in the 122nd chapter of the book of Psalms, David tells us that the house of the Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. I tell you, going to church will make one glad. Hallelujah. Woo, amen. All right, I'm going slow right now. Praise God. You better go ahead and say amen while it's still good. Hallelujah. And if going to church don't make you glad, there's something wrong. Amen. Amen. It ought not be a dread. It ought not be a like going to the dentist. It ought not be a dreadful place. It ought not be a hurtful place. It ought not be a place that you say, man, I just can't stand to go down to the house of God. That's not God's house. Amen. David said, I was glad when it was church time. Hallelujah. Now, as we know, not everyone shares the emotion when it comes to time to go to the house of God. Amen. But his house would be full every time we opened the doors. If folks would say, man, I tell you, I can't wait to get into the house of the Lord. I look across this crowd today. Amen. And I think there's some that are sick and there's some out of town and there's some we're just not sure of. Amen. Maybe they're just not glad to be in the house of God. Amen. That David found overwhelming joy in getting into the house of God. Amen. Oh, yes, the same should be true of you and I. Amen. That's right. We don't worship at the tabernacle like they did. Amen. We don't gather at the temple like they did, but we gather at the church house. Amen. At the place that we know of as the house of the Lord. And when we come in here, it ought to make us glad. Praise God. The Psalms gives us, amen, some very valid reasons of why we ought to be glad. And the first one I already made mention to you, amen, is the purpose. Amen. Why do we come to church? Amen. What is one of the number one reasons that makes us glad? I tell you what it is. And I love all three of these, but this is probably my favorite one. That's why we're going to go ahead and list it first. But one of my favorite reasons, and I guess is my favorite reason that makes me glad when when I come to the house of God, it's because I hear the preached word of God. Amen. This is a reference to God's command to Israel to gather at the tabernacle. Amen. And later at the temple. Amen. For the three great Jewish feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Jews made their pilgrimage up to the place of worship because doing so honored the word of the Lord. Amen. They would gather into the house of God to listen and to hear the word of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can hear the word of God in your living room. I understand that. You can listen to the word of God driving in your automobiles. We live in a very privileged place in time. Amen. But there's nothing like getting in the house of God with the people of God in the presence of God and hearing the word of God. There's just nothing in this world that can compare to that. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I'm about to feel like shouting just saying that. Amen. I like prophecy. I believe the word of God backs prophecy up. But I believe too many people put too much specialty in prophesying. Amen. So they will always, you ever hear people, I want a word of the Lord. In other words, they want some man or some woman to come by and speak a word from God to them. Amen. And all of that is great and it's all fine and it all has its place. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like the preached word of God when you're at a place in your life and you need God to move and that preacher don't know a thing about what you're going through and the word of God comes by and it speaks to you. I come to tell you there's nothing like it. Amen. There's nothing like the preached word of God. Oh, 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, Timothy 3 and 6 and 17 tells us that a spirit-filled, Bible-centered preaching, amen, will thrill the heart of the saint of God. Amen. When you hear the great things and the doctrines of the Bible preached, it will stir your heart. Amen. Oh, yes. We gather to hear, amen, and to herald the praises. Amen, of the Lord. David said, amen, that they also were going there to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. The ancient Jews made their way to the tabernacle and then later to the temple at a great personal cost and difficulty to offer up praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, some of them walked for miles. Some of them rode a donkey for miles. They went through great difficulty to get to the place of worship. Amen. I'm not trying to down us whatsoever. I didn't have very far to go, maybe 3 miles just today. Amen. Some of you didn't have that far. Some of you had farther. But be honest with you, we didn't have a lot of persecution to go through to get to the house of God today. But those Jews, amen, they went through a lot so they could get in the place to get down there and say, God, you've been good to me. Woo! I'm about to feel like preaching here. Amen. God, you've been good to me. Hallelujah. I might have walked 3 miles. I might have rode a donkey for 10 miles to get here to the house of the Lord. But I came together in the house of the Lord to hear the word, preach the word of God, and to give the praises from my lips to let you know, Lord, I'm thankful for how good you've been to me. Is there anybody in this house today can say, God, you've been good to me? Lord, amen, you have put your hand a blessing upon me. Amen, God, you've been good. And therefore, I'm going to praise your holy name. Woo! The ancient Jews remembered what God had done for them. He brought them up out of the land of bondage. He brought them up in Egypt's land when they were slaves and they were made to bear the brick and they were made to make the brick and bear it and carry it. And they were slaves. They worked them like animals. Amen. But guess what? God heard the cry of his people. And you know what happened? He led them up out of that land of bondage. The Bible said with a high and a lifted up hand, God led his people up out of bondage. And he promised Abraham. Oh, you remember that? He promised Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make thy seed like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore. And it looked like Abraham was going to die without the promise of God. Some 25 years later, that's about the age of 75. Some 25 years later, it doesn't look like Abraham's even going to have a son besides that illegitimate child that he had with Hagar. Amen. But guess what happened beyond impossibility? Amen. I'm about to feel the Lord here. Beyond, amen, anything earthly that could have to do with it. Abraham at the age of 100 and Sarah close thereof. Amen. God moved and the miraculous happened. And Isaac was born. And from Isaac came the 12 tribes of Israel. And I come to tell you today, God kept his word. And Israel said, I got to go to the house of God and I got to worship him because he's been too good to us. He's been too good to me. I've got to worship his holy name. Well, number two, one of the second reasons why we gather, amen. Woo. The people who, we come to church because of the people who gather there. Amen. That's right. There's a great purpose to hear the priest's word of God. But also, amen, I come to church because of the people who are there. Woo. Amen. I drive down through Huntington quite a bit. And you look over sometimes and you see that stadium at Marshall. I don't know how many to hold, 30, 40,000. Amen. You look over and I guess 99% of the year that stadium is closed. I would say they only use that stadium. I don't know the odds, you know. I didn't have time to figure all that out. But they probably use that stadium less than 1% of the time of all the year. They only have what, you know? The football teams only have about 15 or 16 games if they have that many. And only half of those are home. So I don't know how many games Marshall has, 7 or 8 maybe, all year long. So they only open that stadium up. I know they practice a little bit, but they only open that stadium up for the stands to fill up 6 or 7, 8 times a year. Whew. Amen. But oh, when they do, great God, when they do, you know what they do? They fill that place up with a bunch of people wearing green and white. Amen. I'll never forget this. I was mowing in Westmoreland one day, and I didn't know what was happening, but I was driving by one of them little side streets going real slow, and a guy came running out of his house, Brother Earl. Amen. A guy came running out of his house, and he's screaming, amen. And I thought, man, something wrong with that guy. Maybe I need to call the ambulance. Amen. And he come out of his house and he's screaming. And I looked at him, he is decked out in green and white. But you know what happened? I later found out that Marshall won some kind of major game that day. They won some kind of big time game. And that guy had green and white on. He come running out of his house. He was jumping up and down. He was yelling and screaming. Amen. He was having himself a fit. Praise God. Now, what I'm trying to say is that's the kind of people that gather in up there to worship and have a good time of their team winning a game. But you know why I come to the house of God? Because that's my kind of people. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my kind of people. When the Lord gets on Brother George and he jerks and shimmies across here, and the Lord gets on Sister Kathy and she jerks and shakes and shouts around here, don't look at her like
like she's crazy. She's just having a good time in the house of the Lord with her people. Amen. And that ought to be just like you and me. I'm in the place that God has designated, and I'm shouting and I'm worshiping because God has been that good to me. Amen. Woo!
Oh, Lord. Amen. Somebody help me here. Get your Bibles. Everybody got some Bibles close. Yet we are commanded to gather there to worship the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 25. I seen April grab hers. April, get me 1 Corinthians. It's over there in the New Testament. Well, I'm sorry. Get Matthew. That's too many verses. It's 1 through 8. We don't have time for 8 verses. Get me Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 37 and go through 39. Amen. Matthew 22, starting at verse 37. Brother George, get me Ephesians if you can. Ephesians 4 and 32. Sister Missy, get me Luke 17 and 3. I'll need 2 verses there. Sister Stacy, get me Matthew 18 and 21. I'll need 2 verses there. And I need one more to get me Galatians. Who got a Bible can get me Galatians? Sister Alicia, get me Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse number 1 and 2. I'll need 2 verses there. Amen. But I'm talking about united. Amen. We gather here because we have a united purpose. David said, let us. Amen. It was more than just him. There was a group. Let us. Amen. Great God, go gather together, amen, and gather into his house. The Jews saw their time at the tabernacle, at the place of worship, that they could come together on common ground. Listen to this. Petty issues could be put aside. Family disagreements could be put aside. Issues between brothers and sisters, amen, literal and spiritual, could just be put aside, and they could gather together in unity and say, we're gathered together. There's a few things we don't agree on, and there's a few things that bugs me, but I'm not going to worry about that today, because I'm in the house of God. I'm in the house of the Lord. This is a holy place. This is a place designated by God for us to gather and worship his holy name in. Let me tell you something. If you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm trying to tell us we're in a holy place. I've preached and I believe that this pulpit up here is a holy place. You should not come up here with sin in your life, and especially if you know sin is in your life. This is not a place to come. Amen. But believe it or not, where you're sitting is a holy place too. The sanctuary, Brother Richard Rice, is a dedicated holy place of worship. We lay aside our petty differences. We lay aside our troubles and those things that's bugging us, those things that's irritating us, and we come to church and we say, I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm in the place of the Lord. I'm with the people of the Lord. And now I want to get in the presence of the Lord. Can anybody in this place say, I'm not in my living room. I'm not in the office at my job. Amen. I'm not at the schoolhouse. I'm not in my car. I'm in the holy tabernacle of the Lord. I'm in a holy place that God has dedicated for us to gather in unity and to worship his name. Woo! That's right. We're commanded to gather together and worship him. Forsake not the assembling of thyself together. Amen. Woo! You know what? A lot of people say, I don't have to go to church. How can you get together with anybody at home? Amen. Forsake not thy assembling of thyself together. Amen. Why do we take time to get dressed? Why do we take time to get out here? Why did Brother George come early and pray tonight? Amen. Today. Why does all that happen? I tell you why it happens. Because he said, I'm coming together. Yeah. Woo! United in fellowship. Amen. He could have stayed home and sang to the dogs. Hey God, I think I got about 6 of them in my backyard right now. I could have stayed home and preached to them dogs. But oh,
that wouldn't have been nothing. Amen. Rather, I come to preach. Amen. And I start to say, sing. I'm not a singer, but if I had to, I would. I come to preach and to sing. Amen. Together. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible teaches us. April's going to read to us Matthew 22, starting at verse 37, that we must practice love for one another. Amen. Tell us what it says.
All right, all right. We're going to get to the next one. 37, we're going to go all the way through 39. He said, you got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Everything you got, you love the Lord thy God. So let's go on. So we know that. First and the great commandment, but he goes on. Now let's listen to the second part. Woo! Can you say amen? Do we know we got to love the Lord thy God? Oh, well, so we talk a whole lot about how much we got to love God. But he said there's another commandment like unto it. It's a second commandment. You got to love your neighbor. Woo! You got to love your neighbor. You got to love that one. Woo! I better move on, hadn't I? Praise God. Hey, I tell you, we got to love one another. Did you hear me? Amen. We got to, did I tell you? We got to love one another. Amen. Oh, God, help me, Lord, not just to love me, not just to love my God, but to love one another and to have unity in the house of the Lord. We must have a forgiving heart. I can't even remember who had Ephesians, Brother George, 4 and 32. Forgiving one another for God, even God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Doesn't the Bible teach us forgiveness? And if you're going to ever have unity in the house of God, you've got to learn to forgive. Luke 17 and 3. I need 3, 4, and 5. Sister Missy started there. If your brother trespasses against him, rebuke him. But if he repents, if he says, I'm sorry, you hold an altar for the next 20 years. Come on. Huh? Come on, if he says, I'm sorry, and he means I'm sorry, what did he say to do? Forgive him. Let's get the rest of it. Oh, wait there, wait there. Now, here's the big part. Whew. I ain't got time to preach all this out. Now, he does it one time and you forgive him. Great God, he'll never do it again. He does it the next time. I'm done with him. That's the way you are. That's the way we are as people. But what did Jesus say? But he does it again. Get to the next part. But if he does it 7 times in the next 10 years, Brother George, 7 times in that day. Wow. Shall we go ahead and call an altar call? Finish it up. Seven times thou shalt forgive him. Wow. Matthew, who had that one? Matthew chapter 18 and 21. Did I give that to anybody? All right, 18, 21, and 22. So let's start it off here. Wait there. I interrupt a lot. Peter said, Lord, and he's talking to Jesus here. He said, Lord, my brother comes against me and he does me wrong. How many times do I got to put up with that? How many times do I got to put up with my brother coming against me? Tell us what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, very important right here. Jesus saith unto him. Wait there. Now, the last time, and this is on purpose here, the last time he said, forgive him seven times if he comes against you seven times in one day. So Peter's quoting the scripture here. Peter said, Lord, if my enemy, the man that comes against me and he does me wrong seven times, he said, are you for real? That's how many times I got to forgive him seven times a day? Peter was griping about that. I really got to forgive him seven times? Well, let's listen to what Jesus said. Woo! Jesus upped the bar. And he said, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which is 490 times a day. If thy brother comes against you and he asks you to forgive him, you got to forgive him 70 times seven. Woo! Jesus is a bar raiser. He raises the bar. Oh, God. Man, I got to hurry up here. I didn't intend to get this long right here. Amen. If we're going to have unity, I said we got to demonstrate forgiveness. Amen. If we're going to have unity, we got to live in tolerance. Who had Philippians 2 and 4? Philippians. Did I give that to anybody? I'm sorry. Somebody get it for me real quick. Philippians 2 and 4. I need that one. Amen. I must have missed it. Praise God. And then whoever's got Galatians, get it ready. Philippians 2 and 4. Who's got it? Now, you ever notice we live in such a self-centered, selfish world? Woo! Some people, all they ever want to talk about is me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Look what I've done. Look what this. Me, 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 me. Let me tell you something. It's time to look not every man on his own, but every man on somebody else. Praise God. Woo. Is this all right? Are you ready for altar call? Galatians 6 and 1 says, we must be willing to offer restoration and restitution. Who had Galatians 6 and 1 and 2? Sister Alicia. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Now he's did something wrong. And he got overtook in it. Ye which are spiritual. Now that's the key part of this scripture, because most of the time a man gets overtaken in a fault, we go ahead and finish him off. But a spiritual man don't do that. Did I get any amens on that? But he said, ye which are spiritual, what now? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. If we're ever going to have unity in our churches, if we're ever going to have unity in our spirits, we got to learn how to have restoration in our hearts. I got to finish this up here. When we can do these things from a heart of love and a Christ-like unity, we can experience true gladness in the house of the Lord. As long as we allow petty differences, hard feelings, I'm right and you're wrong mentality, we're not going to have a move of God. God can't bust over top of that. He's not going to. He can't. He won't. God, give us mature Christians who are willing to love, forgive, worship, and in spite of all this, for the glory of God. Amen. A people united, David said, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. The ancient Jews were a people connected by blood. Listen to this, the tribes. They're talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. They were a family. And when they came together for worship, it was a family affair. It was a time to renew acquaintances, catch up on family news. I'm talking about not in the house, but while they were traveling to the house. They had to travel long distances a lot of times. And while they were traveling, they caught up and they loved one another and they cared about one another. All the redeemed are united by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They were blood kin, but you know what? You and I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, we're blood kin, amen, by the royal blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why sometimes, and be honest with you, some of my closest people in all the world are not even my blood relation. They're my blood relation on the spiritual side. Woo! Isn't that good? Amen. When we come together for a meeting, whether it is to worship, whether it is to fellowship or just pray, we should take the opportunity to strengthen the family bond. That's one reason why we offer so many opportunities for fellowship. People say, man, I never seen a church. Every time you turn around, they're eating. Amen. Churches ought to be able to eat together. Amen. Churches ought to be able to get together for an hour and eat a dinner. Amen. Eat a lunch without always squabbling and always fighting. Something always coming up. Somebody always getting mad. Running out. This made me mad. That. Amen. We ought to be able to get along a little better than that. Praise God. Amen. We ought to have more unity than that in our hearts. Praise God. Amen. Some people can't never get along because everything makes them mad and everything upsets them. And if they can't have it their way, they don't want it no way. That's not God's way. God said, learn to get along. Learn to forgive. Learn to love. Learn to restore. And you'll have unity and you'll have my presence and you'll have my power in the house of God. Amen. Woo! This is all right preaching if I got to say it myself. In the final analysis, why do we come to church? We come to church to worship Him. This is another word for another day. I'm done here. We don't come to church to work for Him. Some people get that confused and get that mixed up. We work for Him when we leave the church. We work for God. And I've heard of churches having signs on the back door. You are now entering the mission field. And we ought to put one up back there. You are now when you walk out those doors, you're entering the mission field. You're entering the place to work for God. But this is the place to worship God. You ought to take you a nap before you come to church so you don't sleep in church. Amen. You ought to make your grocery list before you come or after you come so you don't get bored and make it in church. Amen. You ought to leave your fingernail clippers and your toenail clippers at the house. This ain't the place to clip your fingernails. Amen. This is the worship house. This is the place where I get together with my brothers and with my sisters as the Jews did. And they marched and they said, we can't wait to get in His house. And we're going to thank Him. And we're going to praise Him for how good He's been to me. Is there anybody in this house can lift a hand and say, God, I'm in the place. I'm with the people. Give us the presence. We need the presence of an almighty God to come down and get in the midst. We need unity amongst ourselves to have a move of God. Woo! We come to worship Him. If you come here for anything else, you came for the wrong reason. We didn't come to see how pretty your outfit is, although I'm glad you wore a pretty outfit. We didn't come to see your hair, dude, although I'd rather be fixed than unfixed. Woo. We didn't come to see how pretty your shoes are. We didn't come to listen to your latest gripe. Amen. We didn't come to listen to everything that's wrong. We didn't come to listen, amen, to every sour, amen, thing that's happened to you all week long. Oh, no! We didn't come, amen, to listen to somebody talk about, amen, how they'd rather die. Amen. Oh, God, I'd rather just die. You ever hear people in church talk a lot about how much they want to die? Hey, I want to live. I said I want to live. I want to live in the power of His glory. I want to live in the power of His presence. And I'm going to live until He calls my number. Then I'll die. God, give us the people that want to live. If you come here, amen, for all those other things, you come to church for the wrong reason. Woo! We came to worship God and to magnify and to lift up His holy name. Woo! Is that all right? Oh, God. Why don't you raise your hand one more time? I'm just feeling for the Lord here. I'm in no hurry. Oh, God. Is there anybody in this house would like to learn how to get to the place of worship God? Is there anybody in this house that say, Lord, I'm tired of where I've been and where I'm at, and I'd like to move a little higher, and I'd like to move into the realm of worship? Amen. Ah, we worship ball. We worship ball players. We worship movies and movie stars. We worship all. Some people worship jobs, and they worship money. And people worship all sorts of things. But God, can we get one singular focus and just worship you? Just worship you for how good you've been to me. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I preach to you from the bottom of my heart here today. I don't know why you came, but I'm here because I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Woo, wish I was a singer in this house. Amen. Oh, I come to tell the church. Amen. He wrote my name above. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. He wrote my name above. That's why I'm in his house. He saved me when I was lost. That's why I'm in his house. I deserve the penalty of hell. I deserve the penalty of living eternity without God. But he wrote my name above. Hey, stand with me in this house. I'm done. Stand with me right here. Is there anybody who'll say he's been too good to me for me to come? Amen. And not worship. He's been too good for me to come to his house and not get along with others and not love others and not forgive others. Oh, and not have restoration in my heart. How many times am I going to bull up and get mad over that? Peter said, Jesus, does it really take 7 times? He was griping about 7. Does it really take 7 times? And the Lord said, no, Peter, it don't take 7. It takes 70 times 7. Oh, I come to tell us in this house today, come on, you better give it to God. You better give it to God. You better learn to restore. You better learn to have unity. You better learn to give God your heart and your life. Amen. While we're standing, let's pray. Lord, I did my best to preach on this as a holy place. I believe this is a holy place. We got kids upstairs. They're doing a holy thing. They're learning your word in the Sunday school class up there. We got men and women right here in the adult side of things. And this is a holy place. And we're doing holy things. We're doing eternal things right here, right now. We're doing things that's going to be recorded in eternity. That's how important this is. I've did my best, God, to be your messenger in this holy time of eternity right now. Lord, I've been faithful. I've did my best to be faithful for 14 and a half years right here, Lord. Only you know it, God. Only you know it. Only you know the hurt and only you know the pain. Is there anybody say, I refuse to leave another service without having worship in my heart? I refuse to leave another service without doing what God's created me to do. I'm going to have a heart of worship. I'm going to have a heart of love. I'm going to have a heart of restoration. And we'll get along. Do what's right. That's what I'm going to do. If you'll do that, we'll better have services of worship. I'm the old doctor right now. I got my finger on the pulse. I feel the pulse. I know what the problem is. And I'm writing a prescription. But the problem is the doctor can't make you take the pill. He can give it to you. He can say, man, right here's the problem and right here's what you need. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling you what you need. I see the problem. I can't make you swallow the pill. I can't make you swallow the pill. Let's gather in these altars. Everybody in this church needs prayer. Everybody needs to fill in these altars and say, God, I want to be glad when it's church time. Why should I be glad? Because it's a place of worship. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of power. And it's a place of His presence. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Leave your problems. Leave your pity. Leave all that behind and say, God, I'm in your house. You've been good to me. God, you've been good to me. Lord, you've allowed me a place to work and worship for you.
There's no use trying to hide it from your eyes. There's no need in wearing this disguise. What you see in me is a lot of Pharisee, but I'm trying to be as honest as I can. I'm gonna go down 7 times in a tree I'll even climb. I'll even tear the roof off, Lord, just to get to you. Just to get to you. was dead.